Yes, what a 48 hours we got. Melbourne Cup all up, State of Origin 1 in Adelaide. Phil Rothfield, morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good day, guys. What about you, Lodge, in that Bulldogs jersey?
I know, mate, I know. I had a good afternoon with Arthur on Saturday. I'll tell you what, though, mate. Buzz, he's very excited about the Bulldogs next year, and in particular Trent Barrett being on board.
Yeah, you had any backlash from Raiders fans? You've been one of their greatest players, parading around Western Sydney in a Bulldogs jumper, or...?
Well, I wanted to get out of the place alive, Buzz.
Oh, of course. That's probably wise, mate. Probably wise.
It was full of Bulldog supporters, so I put the jersey on and they left me alone.
Yeah, he's a good man, Arthur, isn't he, mate? They're on a winner there, the Bulldogs.
No, they certainly are. He's obviously been involved with the Dogs and wants to see them have success. And I could just tell with the passion in his voice that he's very excited about... The players that are coming to the club, Trent being able to secure Steve Hansen, the former All Blacks coach, as a coaching consultant. So there's a lot of good times. They're a massive club, the Bulldogs, and he believes that they're on the verge of some good times. So fingers crossed they can get the job done.
Yeah, sure.
Buzz, good morning, mate. How have you enjoyed, or what significant difference have you felt to this year's lead up to Origin versus obviously, you know, mid season Origin the last few years?
Clarkie, I'm one of these. I don't like mid year Origin.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason I don't is that it dead set ruins the premiership for 6 weeks every year. You get probably over a series, you lose 40 of the best players in the competition to a series that we, you know, to a showpiece series, but the competition itself suffers badly. And it goes for 6 to 7 weeks. We get crap games on television on Thursday, Friday nights, half strength teams, bye rounds, no one knows who's playing who. And I'm really, look, this year's series is not just about the scoreboard and who wins. Because if it rates well on Channel 9, which I think it should, if it holds its own or even increases, and if the crowds are at capacity, and when I say at capacity, half full at Homebush with COVID and Adelaide and Suncorp, I have a feeling the NRL is going to be very, very tempted to look at it as a long-term fixture at the end of the season. Now, remembering... too, it wouldn't always be played as late as November. It would be after the grand final, so it would be played through in November. And then on the back of that, you could have a couple of test matches in November. I just feel, though, for the integrity of the competition, it's not right, never has been, that the better sides are penalised for being good sides and halfway through the year lose all their good players. And I'm really, really anxious, to see how many people are going to tune in over the next 3 Wednesday nights, because that will determine whether it stays at the end of the year or goes back to where we've had it for 40 years.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one, Buzz. I'm a bit like you. I think it'll rate through the roof. I think a lot of people miss their football already, and we know with State of Origin.
It's horrible at the moment, Thursday, Friday nights. It's horrible. Seriously, it is.
Yep. No, it is, mate. I'm with you. I've missed my football.
Yeah, we were forced into watching the All Blacks the other night. Can you believe that?
I tell you what, the Wallabies didn't play well, though, did they? Geez, they were very ordinary the other night, the Wallabies. But just with the scheduling, though, Buzz, I mean, obviously we can't predict what's going to happen in the future, but do you think, if COVID stays the way it is and there's no vaccine and the schedule has to be put in place, I'm assuming, before Christmas, they might have to play State of Origin at the back end of next year again, do you think, because of where we're at and the chances of playing Origin throughout the year and not having... full capacity crowds, because the game is obviously losing money and you want to try and generate as much revenue as you possibly can. So, when the schedule has to be in by, and whether that'd be a consideration for the NRL as well?
Yeah, look, November 30, they want to get it done before December. And I spoke to the NRL about it last week. They've already gone to Fox and they've already gone to Channel 9 to get their picks. And that's standard. And then they... whiz it all through a computer and they come out with a schedule. I think they'll have two options, though, one for a mid-year origin and one for an origin at the back end of the year. And but the other thing they've got to consider, too, is player welfare and ensure there's a buy round, you know, because, you know, the players did get knocked about. There were a lot of injuries this year and faster game, et cetera. So they've got some work to do on it, but it'll be determined by television ratings over the next three Wednesday nights, I would think.
Who do you think has the better forward pack? We know that Queensland look a bit thin in the outside backs in particular, but up front, they certainly have some weapons, Buzz.
Yeah, look, I wrote a piece this morning, Mido. Those Queensland, their two starting front rowers, Josh Papali, he's been the number one front rower in the game for probably the last 2 years. And Christian Welsh, I thought, was the best front row on the field in their grand final win over the Panthers. And that's saying something when he was up against, you know, James Fisher-Harris and Tarmow and their middle forwards. And look, I've always said New South Wales are going to win 3-0 this year, but, you know, I think it's going to be a contest. And I'm not quite as confident as I was when you look at that Queensland team and the fact Bennett and Meninga. You know, with those two there, that they'll play high volume, high power. You know they're going to get the best out of them every single game, every single minute, you know. So it's going to be a great series.
So 3-0 Blues, Buzz.
Oh, yeah, I think so, Clarkie.
I think so as well.
The heart there a bit, mate. Mm. I tell you what's a big story, guys, this home ground thing on the front page of the Telegraph. Have you guys seen that story today? Hard to miss, page one. So what's happening, the government has set aside money in the budget for, which will be announced, I think, next week. They're going to rebuild Cogger Oval, Brookvale Oval, a new stadium at Liverpool, and one at Penrith. And there'll be $200,000 mini bank West, $200 million mini bank West, and it's a great move for rugby league to keep football in the suburbs instead of the big spend they were going to do at ANZ Stadium.
Well, that's all we want, that tribal element, don't we?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so what's going to happen, I'll go through it now. Every club, the nine Sydney-based clubs, will have a great venue to play at. So I'm looking at Parramatta at Bank West, the new Allianz Stadium, which will be magnificent, might be even too big, but it's the Roosters and South. You'll have Penrith in a new stadium. You'll have the Bulldogs and the West Tigers in a mini bank West at Liverpool. You'll have Manly in a mini bank West at Brookvale. And you'll have the Dragons and Sharks in another mini boutique stadium at Cogra. The only problem they have is the Sharks don't want to move from Shark Park. So there's going to have to be some negotiations go on there. They think they're a community club, well aware. They've been there all the time and they're not too keen on sharing. But in modern-day sport, you've got to provide the fans with the best possible facilities.
No, exactly right, Bros. Now, with Souths, what's happening with James Roberts and also Corey Allen? He was good for the Bunnies late in the season there, but is it just about inevitable that he'll go as well with, obviously, Latrell Mitchell coming back next year after the injury?
Well, James Roberts is gone and I guess he's had a disappointing stint. I think he wouldn't have played 15 games since he came down from the Broncos. And certainly Wayne Bennett tried his hardest, but it hasn't worked out. And with Corey Allen, mate, Latrell Mitchell came over from the Roosters on unders to what he could have earned at the Roosters or even at the West Tigers. So they're now talking contract extensions. And before he was injured, he played some outstanding football at fullback, so they've got to upgrade him. So what that means is, and Corey Allen played so well too, he's entitled to an upgrade. He could probably get fullback money at a rival club, teams like Cronulla, Cowboys, Broncos, looking for fullbacks. So they've basically said, look, if you can do better elsewhere, you're off contract, you can talk to other clubs now, see what you can do. Now, it's a painful one for South because he's really popular among the playing group, the coaching staff, but you know, football's business, and it's probably a good thing. Souths have, you know, have made him that offer, and we'll see what happens. But I can't see him staying at Souths because they'll get better offers elsewhere.
And if they release those players, obviously, you know, other players will share in that money that's left over. But does that leave South Sydney the opportunity to chase a guy like Josh Addo-Carr?
I think it would, but again, Wayne Bennett's on record, Loz, and I know it doesn't mean a lot. He's told a few porkies about, you know, players he's wanted and not wanted, you know, over the last couple of years, but he insists they don't want Josh Addo-Carr and they're right for wingers. But I would think, you know, that could change, and it has changed before. You know, they didn't want James Roberts and they didn't want Latrell Mitchell, but we saw what happened there, you know. So
where do you think he may end up then, Addo-Carr?
Well, there's a really interesting story today that has emerged that Josh Addo-Carr actually signed a heads of agreement to go to the West Tigers, but I think you're going to find he's trying to get out of that now. I've always said the Bulldogs were favourites to get him, but he has been talking over the weekend of backflipping himself, you know, and wanting to stay at the Melbourne Storm for one more year. Now, whether that's a tactic just to get out of the West Tigers deal, I don't know, but he's a bit all over the shop, isn't he? Look, Brad Fittler hates all these talks during Origin. We've had a bit of it over the weekend. So I think what we'll see with Josh Addo-Carr, he's got to leave it to his manager and just concentrate on these games. He drops a couple of balls or, you know, makes a mistake in Origin, he's going to be, people are going to say, you know, stop worrying about your contract. Worry about your Blues jersey, you know. So I think from today it might get pushed into the background for a few weeks.
Well, speaking of contracts, Buzz, what about Michael Maguire? There's talk he's verbally agreed to a two-year extension with the West Tigers.
Yeah, that's another good story, isn't it? Because Madge is a tough man who's had a few issues with the playing group, and but his biggest problem is that he walked in there and picked up a bit of a mess from Ivan Cleary, didn't he, with overpaid, ageing players. And he won't get a chance to rebuild that roster until this time next year when those guys are off contract. So, look, they want to hang in with Madge. He won the 2014 Premiership and he's a good coach, you know. So,
a question from a listener here, Buzz. Can you ask Buzz if Townsend is staying at the Sharks and are the Sharks going to keep a few of those pensioners that need moving on? That's verbatim, that text message. Hasn't left their name. But what are you hearing there with what's going on at Cronulla?
Yeah, well, what I just said about the West Tigers is identical situation to Cronulla. John Norris came in and was given a roster that Shane Flanagan did with Andrew Fifita on $800,000, Matt Moylan on $800,000, and Josh Dugan on $900,000. And, you know, it's a bit like, you know, Josh Reynolds, Russell Packer and Moses Enbite at the West Tigers. It's so identical. And, look, they just can't move. You can't just sack players. You can say to them, look, you're free to negotiate elsewhere, but the form of those boys hasn't been good enough for them to attract interest from rival clubs. So Cronulla have got to batten down, try and be competitive again next year, maybe scrape into the eight and see if they can go any further next year. Chad Townsend's got another 2 years to run this contract. There was talk Kyle Flanagan had come back, but the Sharks don't have a lot of other options. And look, Chad's won a competition. He's, not in the top half dozen halfbacks, but he's solid. And I would say, though, this contract he's on now will be his last at the club.
Hey, Buzz, what did you make of this story up there in North Queensland and what the integrity unit, the NRL integrity unit, has done or hasn't done?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because it's a very, very unpleasant story about a player and a female staff member and, you know, things that happened at Brisbane Airport on the, you know, the way home to Townsville, and we probably can't go there for legal reasons, obviously, with any names. But look, this went to the integrity unit, and the woman's husband hired a lawyer in Brisbane and lodged an official complaint. The integrity unit today is meeting with that chap, and Peter Parr, I would think, would be under a little bit of pressure. He is also the New South Wales Blues team manager. But when that man complained to the Cowboys about the behaviour of the player, and obviously when, you know, his wife was, you know, involved in an incident like this, he was really out of sorts. But reports are, and it's there in a legal letter to the integrity unit, that, you know, he was given medication, Valium, to, you know, calm himself down. And, you know, he was obviously in a distressed state. And it's a pretty grubby story to be talking about, to be honest. But the integrity unit didn't act on it, but they've reopened the case. And, you know, they've got to be careful, this integrity unit. There's been suggestions, too, that they didn't probably act like they should have, with a couple of issues with Sam Burgess when the days Todd Greenberg was very close to him. And I think, you know, they've got to get themselves into a position where, you know, these cases, you know, can't be covered up. I think all clubs, all players, all officials have to be treated equally across the competition. And it'll be interesting to watch this space and see what pans out over the next few days.
Okay, Buzz, quickly before you go, a Melbourne Cup tip and who wins Origin and by how much?
Mate, I stuck with Russian Camelot. It probably needs a wet track, though, and I don't know if that's going to happen with the weather forecast in Melbourne. And Origin, New South Wales by about 8, mate, I think.
Sounds pretty good to me, mate. Enjoy, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, have a great week, guys.